hospital capacity. The only county that was affected yesterday was the Bay Area section. We're in the Sacramento section. We're not in the north section. No, so the Bay Area was over the limit, so they're automatically at the stay at home. Ours is expected to go over today. So it'll be effective today or tomorrow or maybe the next day. A lot of people think we're in the north, and we're not in the north. We're in the greater Sacramento section. So with that being said, the order is pretty specific about the stay at home. It's similar to what it was in the spring. Retail stores can work at 20% capacity. No indoor or outdoor dining. There's a whole lot of other things. I can't even remember them all. But when it came down to schools, the state order was basically that if you're in school, currently you can stay in school. But that individual health directors in individual counties can make all of the rules stricter, but they can't make them looser. So in other words, if they said outdoor dining was okay, Yuba and Sutter County could say, no outdoor dining, it's takeout only. But they couldn't say, you get to have indoor dining as well. So that's kind of where we're at. Our health department, Dr. Liu, is coming out apparently with an advisory sometime today or tomorrow with four tenets to her advisory. And the four tenets that we've been told, and again, we do not have anything currently in writing from Dr. Liu, but what we've been told is, number one is that Yuba and Sutter County residents may only leave their house to go out once a week. That is in there, going to be in their advisory.
I'm
just telling you guys what I've been told. All schools put students back on distance learning for the next 2 to 3 weeks. So for us, it would be for 2 weeks. This includes grades pre-K through 12th grade and all special cohorts such as special education, EL, foster youth, and homeless. So that's really the effect that we're talking about today, but I'll give you the other two. All county offices come to a halt for work with only essential jobs getting done, i.e. payroll, I'm sure tax collection, because December 10th falls into that, those types of things.
Of course. Payable.
And then for our two counties, no inside or outside dining, takeout only. But apparently you can only take out once a week because you can only leave your house once a week.
I'll see you next week.
Yeah. So those are the four tenets that are going to be coming through on the advisory that we should have later today or tomorrow is what we're being told. So just a little background to give you some information before we have this discussion is that we currently have no transmissions of COVID on our school sites. We have students and staff that have COVID. We have students and staff that are close contacts and are not at work, but none of it generated from our school sites.
Well, let me commend you, our principals, our custodial staff, and all of them for all their hard work and their disinfecting and doing, and our nurse. Sorry, I don't mean to leave you out because I know you've been working your butt off. So that is a huge, huge accomplishment. And thank you to all of you doing your jobs.
So that's one factor to consider when this decision is made. All districts in Yuba and Sutter County apparently are now going to follow the advisory and put all of their students back to distance learning for the next 2 weeks. Beale Air Force Base is making major gate closure changes, which is going to make it near impossible for us to get our students wrapped around in an hour. We may be able to do it, but it's going to be much more difficult. So the advisory that came out from Beale Air Force Base is, due to the Wing Commander's implementation of the health protection condition, and in an effort to mitigate the spread of COVID-19, the gate hours will change as follows. Doolittle Gate will remain open 24/7. I'm not sure why that one's always open. Doesn't seem like it's a highly used gate, but.
But that's where, like, if you're going up to Smartsville, Grass Valley, if you can't use the Grass Valley gate, you just, so that would be the way we would have to take our Smartsville kids. You come in the Wheatley gate, cut over, and you would hit Hamilton.
The problem with that gate is we can't get buses.
No bus,
The buses, the way they made the turning radius at the Doolittle gate, the buses can't make it. So we'd have to look at taking Smartsville kids in vans that way.
And I think it's closer to the flight line, which is why.
It is. It is the main flight line hub. That's why that gate's open.
Okay, thank you. Vassar Lake gate will be only open from 9 p.m. to 5 a.m. So that's a huge issue for us because that's where we go in and out. The Wheatland gate will only be open from 5 a.m. to 9 p.m. The Grass Valley gate is closing at 5 p.m. today until further notice. They will not open it at all. And the Schneider gate is closed until further notice. So basically, from our school hours, the only gate we'll be able to go in and out of with the buses is the Wheatland gate. It's the same gate that everybody on Beal will be using. So that's more information for us.
That's the one on North Beal, right?
North Beal.
South Beal Road.
South Beal.
That's Jasper. Like the new main gate.
Yeah.
The one on North Beal's been closed for years,
yeah,
I think. Right?
Yeah, I just misspoke.
That one, okay. And the one on Wheatland is where you have like anybody going in with trucks or to do work. It's in their inspection site. Yeah.
So kind of moving on, there's really no good choices here to balance the safety, the education, the social emotional pieces of mm-hmm. students. We have 8 instructional days until winter break for students, because 2 of them are already distance learning, the Mondays. Our 6th through 8th grade staff is already on distance learning, as you know. And I will tell you flat out, I'm struggling with this one. Of all the decisions I've had to make as a superintendent, this is probably the most difficult struggle I have. And I really I can't really make a recommendation because I struggle with the safety side of life. And then I struggle with putting kids back on distance learning that have no business being on distance learning. So
to me, 8 days just seems such a small period of time to disrupt everything, but that's.
Yeah, so we basically have, we have a couple of things that we need to think about here. One is the next 2 weeks, what do we do? Okay, we have a few options. None of them are great, right? They're just options. Then come January 4th, we really don't know whether we're gonna be able to come back. Because given the holiday, we just don't know what's going to happen with COVID. And as Angela explained to me this morning, Angela Waltz explained to me this morning, she's been an ICU nurse. This is the time of year that they're full anyways, mm-hmm. right? Because in the wintertime, that's when they're dealing without COVID, ICUs are full. So doing all of this is not really going to help the ICUs. That's a way of saying that how the hospitals react to all this is really not our issue.
But if you look at the CDC website, there's no pneumonia, there's no bronchitis, there's no, I think it disappeared this year. If you go to look at, you know, the cases of what's in our area, there's nothing but COVID on there. So I think everything else has disappeared.
Or they just call it COVID, I guess.
Yeah.
That's it, they call it COVID.
Exactly.
So let's start with my easiest recommendation here, is preschool needs to continue to go to school. Even though it's going to be in the advisory, they are not closing any of the private preschools. So if they're not going to close the private preschools, why the heck would we have to close ours, right? So I think that would be my first recommendation. The rest of the recommendation is I see three different possibilities here. One is we stay status quo and we just understand everybody else is going out, but we're going to stay in for the next 2 weeks and have school as we are, AM, PM, understanding that transportation may be a problem, there may be 10 minutes late, whatever. The second option is to move to distance learning. And for the next 2 weeks, we put all kids on distance learning with that. I mean, including preschool if you chose to, but I say no with preschool. And the third option is not a great option, but it is an option, is to train and say, we're going to give everybody a 4 week Christmas break. So effective today, it's the last day of school until January 4th. The 2 weeks that we're going to miss, we're going to make that up by going to school during spring break and adding a week on in June. Now, there's pluses and minuses of that. And there's actually a fourth option. Let me say that, and then I'll go back to the third option. Potentially, we could, and Melissa would know better if we, I doubt we'll get it, but we could apply for a waiver and say that because of the decision made, we want a waiver for to not have to count those days. We probably wouldn't get it because we have the option to do distance learning, but there's the potential you could apply for it. I don't know that that's going to be the case.
We would give parents 2 days to tell them that for the next 4 weeks, their kids are going to be home.
Yeah, as I said, there's no great option.
And I know that. To make up those 2 weeks, would we end up like Thanksgiving where people had plans and then we have them distance learn, the teachers on the road?
Well, if we did that, then there'd be no sense in doing it, right? We'd have to say that there'd be no distance learning. Again, we can't predict what's going to happen in the springtime, right? I have a fairly good feeling that life is not going to get better COVID-wise for the next few months.
I agree.
Okay. But absolutely, the reality of April and June is there's the potential by then that the vaccine is out and people that want to take it are going to take it. And so apparently, if you listen to the experts, if 2/3 of the country takes it, it kind of wipes out the pandemic. I don't know that we'll get 2/3. Plus, I don't know that there'll be enough vaccines available to get 2/3 of the people taking it, but it's just information. The other thing about training is they would get 4 weeks off now, but then April is kind of that time where there's that burnout factor, where staff and students are like, God, I just need a break. And so if we don't have that break in April, we're going to muddle through, and we add a week on in June. Now we've extended with really no break.
And no holidays that are breaking.
Not very many holidays between now and what we would be like June 17th, right? So it's not a great option, I think, but I'd be amiss of not saying it is an option.
I'd like to say something about the preschool, because those teachers and the students never did distance learning, right? So they don't have that capacity
preschool
to jump in.
The so preschool did distance learning last spring, but they did not, they have not had to do it this year because the preschools have been able to open.
And if you want to be happy, you go and sit and watch the preschool. Just park out there and watch the kids with no masks playing on playground equipment, playing with each other, and it brings you a sense of normal, and just, it makes your heart warm. It really, I mean, I could just sit there and watch them play. I do.
So that's kind of where we're at, guys. If we decide to stay for the next 2 weeks, we will be the only one. Okay. Which is, there's nothing wrong with that, but it's a reality. We'll be the only one in Yuba, Sutter County. Toss a rock down over this bridge into Placer County, and they're all going to be in school. At least apparently at this particular time.
And like, you know, we're lumped with them. We're in that same.
We are lumped with everything that happened this side of the bridge. The lump of greater Sacramento area, yes, we are lumped with them on when the stay at home order starts, but
and the hospitalization goes
too. But not the doctor's recommendation or the health department's recommendation. Placer County will have their own, Yuba and Sutter will have their own. Okay, so understand too that Sutter County has the highest positivity rate of any county in the state. Yuba County is 52 out of 56. So our area is inundated with positive cases.
And we have a lot of homeless population, so that doesn't.
Farm workers. Trevor County's farm workers. I mean, that's where the.
Well, and East Indian.
And East Indian, yeah.
The wedding, the weddings and the people that aren't following guidelines and so on and so forth, so.
Well, it seems to me like option one would be the less impact towards the students, other than transportation. You know, and being 10 minutes late or whatever is a lot smaller than not being there at all, you know, so.
Well, in Smartsville.
And you're talking 2 weeks.
Yeah.
8 days.
8 days.
I want to break those numbers down just a little bit. Per the county website, since the beginning of the pandemic, we have Wheatland at 107 cases, Plumas Lake at 208 cases. So within our, you know, southern part within the county, we're not like Marysville, Linda, who have 600-800 cases. So our numbers within right here are smaller. And then also, as Craig had mentioned, we have zero cases of transmission within our district and within our school sites. It's been a total team effort between administrators, health aides, teachers, everybody, to make sure that kids aren't coming safe. I mean, are sick, our parents are keeping our kids home when they're sick and following the strict guidelines. So for the greater good of everybody, for those students who have been able to come and aren't sick. So,
and patting yourself on the back too, for all that.
So we've been in school for 13 weeks. For TK through 5, we've had a total of 3 positive cases in students. So, and as we know, TK through 5, the reason why we were able to apply for the waiver in the first place is that there's less transmission within those groups. I think we have seen that distance learning doesn't work well for this age group. I believe education is essential, and I don't believe that shutting down our schools is going to accomplish anything, because the way, at least in this district, we have put in so many extra safety features between additional cleanings, you know, the barriers and our protocols, that it's really a safe place for our students to be. If we shut down school, they're going to be in daycares, they're going to be in talks with their friends, and they're not going to have a professional educating them, you know, and having that 2-day added stress, you know, 2 days to really plan for these kids to be home on those parents, because a lot of them are essential workers, so they're still going to have to be working. And what are these kids going to do in that time period? From personal experience, if they don't have a dedicated adult to help them, especially TK kinders, they struggle, they're not going to get anything out of it.
And if people open their homes, like me, for example, if I say, you know, I'm home during the day, bring your kids here, I'm going to have a mixture of all these different homes in my house trying to help. So friends are going to try to help friends.
That's right.
And now you've taken away that safety barrier. And I think for our, not only student safety, they're safe at school, but our staff safety, you know, I mean, our staff, we, like you said, all the protocols that are in place, you know, the cleaning, everything that happens. And, you know,
I mean, obviously we can't control what happens and takes place outside of the school. I mean, that's the reason why our numbers are going crazy and people are going to do what they want to do anyways. But if they're at least getting some academic instruction and being safe at school, I just don't see shutting down schools as a means to flatten our ICU curves or anything like that. I just think it's going to hurt our children, not only academically, but, you know, our kids are happy to be back. They're able to be social. They're not isolated in a stressful environment at home. You know, we've had students come in with anxiety. We've had CPS calls. You know, there's a lot of mental health and social emotional health issues that are affecting these children from being isolated for so long. You know, some of the kids, you know, they're coming to school and they get fed. Sometimes the parents don't have the ability at distance learning to come to the school and get nutrition for their children. So, and as Craig had mentioned earlier, ICUs are full in the wintertime. They always have been. Of course, it's absolutely worse now with COVID, but as I mentioned, they're going to stay full. The advisory is going to stay. I just don't see anything happening with that before March or April. So, at this point,
there's a fairly good chance that we will not be able to come back in January. I mean, that's
the reality. I think that's pretty realistic.
So it's really a matter of deciding that we're talking about the next 2 weeks right now. That's all we're talking about. What happens after that is going to be another board meeting at another time with more advisories or more orders or more whatevers. But we're talking about 2 weeks that are happening right now. Just back to some of Angela's numbers that I think are worthy of discussion is that we have three cases of TK through five of COVID, as she mentioned. Two of those come from the same family. So really we have two incidents of COVID in our TK through five. And again, none of them generated from school. They're all from family gatherings. With that being said, we do have a significant number of absentees of students. Right now, yesterday, Wheatland Al had about 20% of their kids that did not attend school. Whether they're a close contact, or whether the parents are scared, or whether they just have a normal cold, or whether we sent them home because they have symptoms, there was 20% of those students. And I would expect that at Bear River, it's harder to understand Bear River because sixth through eighth grade's already on distance learning, so I don't know how many didn't tune in or whatever. Fourth and fifth, they typically have a pretty good attendance rate. I don't know, Andrew, Sherry, do you know, did you have a high absentee rate in your fourth and fifth in the last couple of days?
No.
No, okay, thank you.
I have a question about the 20%.
Yes.
Of those 20% that stay home, there's no distance learning option for them.
Correct.
If they're just homesick.
Correct.
But where if they were home on distance learning, they could log in? Possibly.
They could, potentially. But I talked about that earlier, is that are we going to just trade kids, right? Because we have kids right now, that 50 kids that aren't coming to Wheatland now. Just use that as an example. And if we go to distance learning, we might still have 50 or 60 kids that never log on because their parents aren't home or whatever. So you're still going to have an absentee rate of some sort. One of the biggest issues, sorry, just let me finish my thought here. One of the biggest issues that we are facing is staff. We do have two pages of staff that have been in and out of school due to either being a positive COVID case or close contact. So we currently have one teacher that is back now, and then we have one that's out for a positive COVID test. We have a number of staff, certificated and classified, that are out because they are close contacts. So maybe their husband or their mom or somebody like that is positive and they were with them. So they're out potentially through the next 2 weeks because they could potentially be out for up to 24 days depending on whether or not they're positive or not and whether when the parent or the other person was positive. So we do have some of those issues, but not really affecting our teaching staff to an extent. We have one that's out, but we have subs for the places in which we have a staff member out. Classified, not necessarily. We may not have a sub available for the people that are out. Some of them we do, some of them we don't. So that's kind of the whole thing in a nutshell of where we are. Again, I haven't seen the official advisory. What I've been told, all of the superintendents were on a meeting yesterday, and what we were told at that point is the advisory is, last time we got the sixth through eighth grade was a recommendation. That's this level. Then the advisory is this level, and the order is this level. Okay, so the advisory is more than it was for the sixth through eighth, but less than it is in order, because she can't make an order on her own. Dr. Liu has to go through city councils and all that, or whatever, whoever she reports to. And the advisory has to be, like I have to go to you guys, she has to do that. But she can make an advisory, just can't make an order. For her to make an order, she has to go through that process. That process will take more than 2 weeks. for them to be able to do that. So that's why it's not going to be in order. So.
I just wanted to touch on, if we know students are going to be quarantined or out for an extended period of time, they are able to get like packets of work and that kind of stuff put together. Obviously not as good as being in the classroom, but it's not that they're not doing anything either.
Well, thank you for that information. Thank you, but I still want to go on the side of safety. I think you don't know what parents are doing at home and families, and the more they can bring back, the worse it could get. Err on the side of caution.
I like your recommendation and your numbers, and I personally think it's 8 more days. We should give it the 8 days and see what comes up through Christmas break, and just let parents know that we don't know what's going to happen after Christmas break. You might want to start looking, you know, planning that if they can't come back and we have to go to distance learning, that gives them 4 weeks to come up with
get something in place.
Get a plan together of what they're going to do with their kids. Because if you tell them today, I'm sorry, if you tell somebody today that Monday your kids are home, I mean, that could cause a whole, they're not like some of us where we, I'm home. I could adjust to that if I had children. There's 2 working families that have to do that to feed. And like you said, to eat, I think when I look at it, I look at what's best for the kids. And when we only have 2 kids that have, well, 3, but 2 in the same household and 2 events, and it wasn't related to school, and and we can't help classified, if certificated, if they're going out and they're, playing cards, playing volleyball, playing court, whatever they're doing, going anywhere, we can't control that. And if that happens, it's not on us. The liability is not on us, so for our, and it does make it hard staffing. I get that. And I know Craig even drove the other day. And I just think for 8 days, we kept the mask thing status quo of the no masks from preschool to whatever. And I think 8 days is.
I would agree with that. It seems to me that if we send them home, the likelihood would be higher that they would contract it than if they were just to come to school for those 2 weeks. And then, like you said, in January, we'll see where we stand as far as where the county wants us to go, or if we can still stay in this mode. That the numbers stay good and we can still stay in the mode in January, that's fine. But I think that if we go back to distance learning, then in January they say, well, I just don't think the distance learning would serve any purpose for 8 days, when I think they can come to school and say serve a greater purpose.
Well, the 3 choices, there's the 2, distance learning or trade, they're still going to be home starting Monday.
Mm-hmm.
So you still have the weekend to prepare. So that's not giving them much time to decide what to do or how to do it.
Are you going to take any input from the?
Yeah, absolutely. Anybody out there want to have something to say? You can either type your name in the chat, we can call on you, or you can just open your mic and hopefully not speak over each other.
Come on, administrators, I know you have an opinion. I can see it, Jody, it's ready to jump out.
I'll jump in there first. All of the things that I've heard are exactly the discussions we're having. We know that in-person instruction is better. It's better for kids, it's better for learning, it's better overall. We are in a situation where safety is part of it. Following the advisory of our health officials are part of it. We know that we will lose kids in distance learning, but we'll also, as Craig said, we'll pick up some kids who are already home because of somebody else in the house is sick, and they'll be able to participate in school. So it's a mixed bag, and we have all those feelings here too. It doesn't help a lot, but we're kind of 50-50 over here generally, and we'll see how it goes.
Thanks, Peter. Jamie wrote, stay open in one of our cafeteria.
So I'm having computer issues, so I had to come jump on Sherry's. We're in the same boat. You know, we know live instruction is better for kids. We hate not having our sixth through eighth grade here as it is, and the kids are definitely struggling with the 6 hours a day. Mm-hmm, yeah. But I am torn because we do ask the kids to follow rules. Part of the reason we're seeing this surge is people aren't abiding by the rules and doing what the government has asked them to do. And so now we're seeing this uptick in cases. So for us to not follow the guidance goes against the rule follower in me, because we're part of what sets the example in the community. And to say that we're not going to follow the advisory that's being given to us to help the situation with our healthcare workers and things like that, I don't know. I'm torn. You know, yes, I want my kids here on campus, and yes, I miss the kids, but are we sending the wrong message?
And so I'd like to comment on that just for a second, because I agree with Ange that we do set a tone, and we've talked about that before with other things. However, it's what advisory are we going to follow, right? Because this is not a clear advisory. The state government is saying kids need to remain in school. We have one doctor who is saying, we want you to all shut down. One. And whether or not, look, I don't understand COVID. I don't understand the medical side of all of that. I don't understand the influx of hospitals. That's not my thing. But I don't think she understands schools. And I don't think she understands, I know she doesn't know all that we've put in place to keep our students safe. And I fully believe, this is why I've struggled. I fully believe that our students are safer in school than they are at home. Yeah. And if we just go back to the spring, when we were on distance learning, what did we see? Kids at the parks together, kids walking around the campuses together, kids on our roofs together, kids everywhere together, because parents are at work and so that they can't control them. When they're at school, we keep them 6 feet apart. We follow the guidelines, so on and so forth. So I think that, again, I'm a rule follower like Ange is, but it's a matter of which rule are we going to follow, the state rule or Dr. Liu's rule.
And sometimes it's so, okay to be the leader in something and to lay it down and say, you know, we're willing to step out there and, you know, do what's best. At the end of the day, what's best for our kids. And
when you talk about science, we have a good science for it now with our numbers.
No, we do. We have a proven track record that our system is working.
And Dr. Liu probably doesn't have those numbers that she just gave us.
I can't speak to her rationale. I have my own opinions, which I will keep to myself. but I, this is my struggle, and this is why, you know, I go back and forth on the recommendation, but I really, if I err on the side of children, I would say that they need to stay in school for the next 2 weeks. If we want to mitigate our number of people that are on campuses, we have other ways of doing that without affecting the children. So for example, what we could do potentially is to mitigate the number of people is we can look at some of the jobs in our district that can be done from home and allow those people to do those jobs from home. For example, we could have all of our sixth through eighth grade teachers not come to school and have them do their distance learning from their home, assuming they have the proper internet. That would alleviate the number of adults on Bear River School. There are other jobs that can be done via distance learning in our district, via remote work in our district. Not many, but some. And that could alleviate some of the numbers of people. But overall, our numbers, as we've explained, in TK through 5 have been almost nil. Almost nil.
Well, and those teachers in 6th through 8th are staying in their classrooms unless they choose to go other places.
Right, but the reason we're where we are in the state, in the United States, is because people are not choosing to follow, right? So that is the problem we're at. We're at a place where our kids' education is suffering because
teachers who are teaching at these two schools that are going every day.
I get it. Yeah. I'm just saying that there's other ways to deal with the adult population, which is where the big portion of COVID is happening, not at the
And I get that, because
my input is that, you know, you say kids are safer going to school, but they're only here 3 hours.
Right.
So where are they the other 21?
Yeah, but they're there 3 hours, and there's professionals and teachers and stuff that can see their appearance, if they're being abused or whatever, you know, I mean, they're
stressed.
Somebody, yeah.
And we have counselors at each side.
If they're in distress or, you know, I mean, there's somebody outside of their family unit that's seeing them. So I think it's really important, you know.
The social emotional, but it's
that's
2 weeks addition to what we've already done, right? The issue of the social emotional side of it, child is what is being lost in all of this.
That's right.
Right? The educational side, okay, some kids are going to do fine on distance learning. The high school, you know, I think Nicole is actually on here. Those kids are older, even our 6th through 8th grade, they're older, and their ability to interact on a computer is much greater than a 5 or a 6 year old.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Also, they also are the population of children that are more susceptible to getting COVID at the middle school, the high school level than the TK through 5. So there's rationale for those 6th through 12th grade to stay on distance learning. I struggle with the 6th through 8th grade because those are our kids. And I know Nicole struggled with her 9-12 because all of us want our kids in school. But I think jumping the gun right now onto a distance learning model for 2 weeks is somewhat premature, and that's why it's been a struggle for me to come up with a recommendation. But if I'm going to be, if my hand's going to be held to the fire, I would have to recommend that we just stay open.
Do you want to get a sense of where everybody's at?
Yes, please.
Well, I think we should stay status quo for the next 8 days. Have a meeting during
10 days, but yeah.
Well, eight physical days in the in today. I think with our health official, who we've hired the best of the best, who's done an amazing job, her numbers and her recommendation of having kids in school, so we don't see kids like we see on the news or there's a local pastor that picks up kids when I pick up, and he told me, you would not believe the counseling that he's doing at that age level at the elementary school, up to his older congregation members, but all the kids that he's counseling for anxiety in school. And he's a local pastor. And so for me, I think 3 hours of somewhat normalcy, education is what's best for kids, and that's where I'm at the status quo for the age.
Yes.
I agree with that. I think we should stay open for the until the Christmas vacation and then see what happens after that. If we have the ability to stay open and they say we can, I think that's the smartest thing to do.
Regine?
Such a fence. But I agree that kids need to be in school showing that we're not at a liability with that, but that we have in place. And I think they need to stay where they are and give these parents the benefit of the doubt for 2 days' notice of, you know, guess what? They're going to be home for the next 2 weeks, on top of the 2 weeks you already know about. So I think.
Rana?
I believe in following Dr. Lee's advice.
I think the kids should be in school under the circumstances.
Thank you, Kathy, and thanks for doing that. I would like to do one last thing. We have a number of people on here that are parents. There might be staff members and parents, but they're parents of our students.
Absolutely.
And I would love for like Rochelle or Terry or Jamie.
Alyssa.
Alyssa, Renee, Robin, even Nicole, you have a son in our district. Well, he's already on distance learning, but could you give us, Rochelle, can you give us your opinion as a parent, not as a staff member? You have to unmute yourself.
Okay, unmuted. Sorry about that. As a parent, I'm going to say keep them in school. We only have 8 days left. If it's only still under advisory, let's keep them in the classroom for as long as quick as possible. And hopefully we can get through the next 2 weeks as planned. And then we have to deal with looking at January 4th when it's time to look at January 4th. As another parent, I've had my kids home this week. Zira's had a cold all week. She sounds great today, but didn't, you know, yesterday at 8 a.m. when I talked to Melanie and Angela, we decided to stay home one more day to be on the safe side. We're erring on the side of caution, of course. I have in-laws here at the house as well. She's trying to say hi. And so I think that our protocols that are in effect to protect our staff and protect our kids are there for a reason, and we're following them to the T. Zachary was able to go back. He was doing much better, so he was back at Bear River on Thursday. And Zira will be back on Monday as planned. As an employee, I have missed being at work just because of a cold, to be very honest. But most of you know my work ethic anyway, and I would be there in any way I could be. I think that we've put a lot of time and money and planning into our plan to go back to school originally as a district. And I think we need to utilize everything that we can to keep them in school for as long as we can.
Thank you. Okay, so I'm going to read some of them here because some of you put them in here. So can you please scroll that back up, Jeff?
I'm happy to share it to you.
Okay, so Rochelle already spoke. Jamie, I already said stay open. Renee, 2 more weeks, let's finish the school. Robin. I have not talked to a single parent that wants their child to go back to distance learning. They all want to keep them on campus. Terry, as a parent, I would prefer distance learning. Renee, as a parent, changing my child's schedule for 2 weeks will be crazy and pointless. I'd rather have an early Christmas break and if needed, put them on distance learning after the new year. Keep them in distance learning. Switching schedules is more trouble than anything. Anybody else up there want to say anything?
Sherry's a parent. How do you feel about that as a parent, Sherry? No pressure. And I love your background, by the way.
Thank you. I'll be honest, I'm pretty torn. Do I like distance learning? Absolutely not. I hate it as a parent. I don't enjoy it. However, if it keeps my family safe, that, I don't know. I have a stepson with a single ventricle heart. So that definitely weighs on our family about somebody bringing it home. I worry about our staff. I worry about their health and being able to keep everything going and, you know, having bodies in the room to teach the children. So I don't have an answer. I don't like distance learning. I'm with them. There's nobody who likes it, who wants to do it.
Sherry, you make a good point about worry, and we all worry, and that's what makes these decisions so difficult, is we worry about the audience. But if we go with our own statistics, is we're not having any COVID being passed from student to student, from student to staff, or staff to student. We have 0 cases. Does that mean we won't get one? I don't know. I mean, Nicole, you're on here. Your situation at the high school is very different, but did you guys, some of your COVID happen at school, or was it all outside of school?
We had two students that tested positive, but we had 15 staff that tested positive. So I'm going to assume that, you know, more than likely they got it from kids that are asymptomatic. I mean, I was one of those that had COVID. I was home for 14 days. My son, my 13-year-old who goes to your school, no symptoms. Had I not started feeling sick, he would have been at school. And then our 20-year-old, nothing, you know, outside doing 600 push-ups a day because he couldn't go to the gym because he had to quarantine with us. Mom and dad, on the other hand, I mean, I'm 46 years old. I mean, it took a toll on me. It wasn't fun. And we're pretty sure that it probably came from kids here that are just walking around. That's the only reason why we closed. We got to a point that we couldn't keep our classrooms open. I mean, we were talking to Doreen yesterday and she was in Yuba City and she's like, you know, my office is, the staff is having a quarantine. So
it's definitely a different situation when you have so many staff out that you can't house your kids like they have at the high school, and that's what Yuba City's going through right now. What did she say, Nicole? She has like six principals that are out with COVID, something like that. So, you know, so it's a different situation if we had a significant number of
office that was out, that she had to close a whole school down because of she couldn't have her keep her office open.
Well, I think too, if closing as break rooms and stuff is something, because I had heard that people got it from each other in break rooms.
Yeah. So. No, I mean, we have, assuming we stay open, which it sounds like that's what the plan is at this point, we do need to mitigate the interaction as best as possible with break rooms and bathrooms and standing out in the parking lot and all of those different situations that could create some of the issues.
I know Alyssa texted me. Alyssa, do you have an opinion? Mrs. Hearn or Ms. Hearn?
I'm probably going to have to walk out. Hold on. As a parent or as a staff member opinion?
You can do either one.
So as a parent opinion, me and my husband both are arguing about this. He is completely against the schools being open. He wants to pull our daughter and put her on HBIS. And as a staff member working here and seeing the precautions that were made, I think that it's hard for parents because they have that fear factor that's coming in. And with so many misconceptions on the media, they are getting scared. So I think as a district, if we can just really reiterate how much we are doing, because we know we're doing that, but parents, I don't are really getting that correlated over how much precautions we are taking. I think I throw away these masks 3 times a day. And my fingernails yesterday were peeling because of the amount of hand sanitizer that we're having to put on. Just those little things. But as far as distance learning, as a staff member, I am kindergarten. And that will cripple them because for that 10 days, I think is just too much. I think that we need to have another board meeting. And I think that we need to just push through these next 2 weeks and then really figure out what we're going to do coming back in January. And I think that really needs to be the big decision. But that's my opinion.
Thank you, Alyssa.
Thank you, Alyssa.
The decision for January is going to come to us at some point, right? But making a decision today for January is way premature.
Right. Yeah.
It's hard to make a decision for Monday, let alone January. But we have a December 10th board meeting, we have a December 17th board meeting, and we will likely have another one before January 4th. We won't do it on December 25th.
Why not? We can't do anything else.
I have talked to my staff this morning. I surveyed quite a few of them, just kind of a sampling of you know, to find out what they were thinking. And staff is ready to send things home today if they need to. They're on board either way. And they are, those that I spoke to said they're fine if we keep kids here, they'll power through it, no problem. And if they have to go back to distance learning, they're not happy about that, but they would do it and they're ready to do it today. So as far as staff goes, I don't see anyone who is leaning either way. They'll do whatever they need to do, whatever your decision is for kids, they would do. So I would say that that's kind of where we are here. It's whatever we need to do, we'll do.
That's nice to hear, Team Laundry.
Well, you know, the bottom line is everybody's always saying follow the science. And the science says,
Our science.
I mean, I don't know why everybody wants to follow the science when it's on their side, you know? So.
Well, and again, we've had this conversation a number of times, not necessarily in here, but with the superintendents and whatnot. Wheatland and Marysville and Yuba City are drastically different. And to be included into a county that is so drastically different is sometimes doesn't work in our favor. Literally, we could throw a rock and hit Placer County. I mean, right there. And we also are in a situation where we have a large percentage of our population, whether it be workers or whether it be parents, that don't go to Rideout, right? They go to Kaiser,
right,
or they go to Roseville Hospital, or they go to UC Davis, or they go that way.
Thank God.
So again, to be included in everything that's happening, Angela's already gone over the statistics between New City and Marysville versus Wheatland, and Plumas Lake, as a matter of fact, they're not that high either. We're almost really more bordered on what's happening in Placer County than what's happening. So.
Do you know what their positivity rate is?
In Placer County? I do not, but Angela can look it up. Mm-hmm. It'd be nice if we know the numbers for, but we don't know the positivity rate.
It's cool. So.
Positivity rate for Placer County is
7.3. So it's half of
what you have. So they had 120 cases reported yesterday, and their 7-day case rate is 27% increase in the last 7 days is 3.8%.
So they're much
more. Zero flu.
So do you think that the homeless population in there, I mean, if you just drive down there, it's I don't go that way very often because I go that way. But when you go that way, I mean, from all of first exit, there's tents all the way down the highway now. And so that's got to be feeding into
Jasper Lane now. You should have seen what came down yesterday.
So that's an interesting thought, except they're not reporting it out as homeless populations are increasing the numbers. That every report that we get, it's family out. Every report. So, again, we argued that point when there were protests. How could they not be getting it at protests and they're getting it at family gatherings? But family gatherings is the fallback of where they're getting it. So at this point, I don't want to keep belaboring. I think that we just hunker down and keep going.
Chad, do you have kids at the TK through 5?
I have a fifth grader.
How do you feel?
Personally, all three of my kids gain more from being in person. I mean, that's just, it is what it is. I use my middle-aged daughter as an example because she's just totally like, this is her socially, it's her.
Right.
Like, academically, and just trying to recover from that, I mean, that's going to be
years.
Yeah, it's really sad for these kids. I mean, luckily my youngest, she's able to do either or. Mm-hmm. She's been able to adapt to it, but not all kids are like
that. And your oldest, how old is she? What grade?
My oldest is a junior and my middle is a sophomore. And my oldest is actually just now starting to struggle a little bit as well, where she's 4.2.
And it's sad because, again, we have another group of seniors and another group of high school kids that are getting robbed of every opportunity, sports, homecoming, prom, graduation. I mean, this is
Well, unfortunately, we can't control all of that.
I know.
What we can control is what we have going on right now, which is whether we bring the kids back for the next 2 weeks or not. Any decision beyond the next 2 weeks, I mean, honestly, it's all premature. Mm-hmm. I can come back to you in 3 minutes if I get an advisory that becomes an order, right? It's a different situation. But as of right now, based on the knowledge that we have, it basically appears to be a 4-1 vote to just continue to move on.
So let's vote.
If we get an order.
If we get an order, which it won't happen, but if we did get an order, it would not be our fault.
Right.
So what they've done, what Dr. Liu's upset about, according to what I heard, is that she's upset that the governor didn't take a stronger stance with his stay-at-home order and basically threw it on to them at the local health department saying, you can get stricter, but you can't get looser. But that's exactly what the health department is doing to all of our districts, is throwing it back on to us saying, we're advising you. However, we can't tell you, you have to. You as a local governing board have to make that decision. So that's why all of us have had our meetings. And I'll reiterate, and I'm okay with it, but I'll reiterate, we're gonna be the only ones staying in school. But there's nothing wrong with that.
So we're going by the governor's recommendation.
We're following the governor's recommendation, that's right. If you guys vote on it, and Kathy's gonna do that in just a second.
That's what I was gonna say.
Somebody has to make a motion.
I'll make a motion that we stay status quo for the next few weeks until Christmas vacation.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Okay, so just so we have it for the record, because some people on the Zoom like to know who voted for what. So Kathy, Nikki, Regine, and Ish voted to stay in school, and Rhonda voted against it. Okay,
maybe we should start doing a roll call vote.
We probably should while we're on Zoom.
Yeah.
We said we were going to do that, but we get caught up in
the
old ways of doing it. So, all right, so that's the decision as of now, and hopefully I don't call you in 3 hours and have you come back. But
Craig? Can we please get a quick notice out to teachers, or is it okay with you if we get a notice out because they're on pins and needles?
I will be going to my office and putting something together immediately.
Okay, because they're wondering if they're sending things home with AM kiddos.
Right. Oh, yeah.
In an hour.
I'll put something out immediately, but you guys are part of this. You're part of this meeting, so you can get something out now if you need to, because I forgot AM Dover now. So, okay, thank you.
Craig, can I just ask you one more question?
Uh-huh.
What happens if, like you said, let's cross our fingers this doesn't happen, but in 3 hours you get the order that we are then required to close? All of our AM kids are leaving in an hour. What is the plan, or is there a plan for prep and distribution for school books and textbooks and homework and packets and all of that?
Yeah, so first of all,
more so probably for Bear River.
That's a great question, but my understanding is the process does not allow for an order to happen in 2 weeks. They have to go through a process of having scheduling meetings with their boards. Dr. Liu would have to schedule meetings with their boards, their board of supervisors. The board of supervisors will not give an order like that because they're all about keeping businesses open. So we won't get an order. We'll only get the advisory. And so I don't think that's going to happen. But if we did, to answer your question, luckily Monday is already a distance learning day. So we would have that day to really push out the stuff that we would need to push out. But I just don't think that will happen.
Okay, thank you.
All right, well, thank you very much.
Meeting adjourned.
Meeting.
With the new closures.